Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So the Tampa Bay Lightning lose Game 1 of the NHL Stanley Cup Final 4-3 at Ball Arena to Colorado in overtime. And it ended, at least, you know, Steve, you talked about this. If you're going to lose in overtime, lose quickly. I mean, Colorado's Andrei Burakovsky blast one past Vasilevskiy. They were unable to clear the zone again. And this was kind of a theme throughout the night. So how do you feel? I mean, are you, on the one hand, you say, well, you know, they came out and they didn't play well in the beginning. They fell behind 2-0 and 3-1, but they battled back to force overtime, including killing off a penalty at the end of regulation and part of the overtime. And so they had the game on their stick. I mean, they could have stolen one here. They didn't. They're still down 1-0, but, you know, I guess a loss is a loss, right? The Colorado is now 1/4 of the way to a Stanley Cup. By the same token, I didn't feel like the Lightning played as badly as they have in the past, and they've been in this position before. So there's some good to take out of this, but certainly not the result.
I thought the first 10 minutes were pretty bad by the Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the third period was pretty rough. Beyond that, I didn't think the Lightning played that poorly.
Right.
I think John Cooper even said they dipped their toe in the water.
Yeah. They were tentative at first.
Yeah, to start, and ended up down 2-0. They get the goal to make it 2-1 by Nick Paul. Huge goal.
Mm-hmm.
Sergachev gets a tripping penalty. Thought it was questionable, but okay. I mean, I thought he fell down more because Cirelli checked him at the same time. But okay, they get the penalty. Then they get Cirelli for a trip on a guy that was falling down, and he hit his knee with the stick after he was falling down. To give him a 5-on-3 for, what, a minute and a half?
Yeah, that was tough.
And the Colorado ends up scoring there. It's 3-1. I didn't like that. I didn't think he tripped him. I thought he was falling. And mm-hmm. I think the officials blew that one. And to give a 5-on-3 on that's pretty rough. You don't see that in the playoffs.
Right. Especially when they swallow
their whistles more.
Yeah, they probably let a lot go in that game on both sides, but they called that for some reason.
Mm-hmm. And then I thought the Lightning kind of found themselves in the second period. They get those two goals 40-some seconds apart, 48 seconds apart, I believe. First of all, Kucherov, what a move.
Oh, my God, another great play. 2-on-2.
Against their best defensive pair, Toews and Makar.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of a give and go, if you will, and he puts it, you know, right on Palat's stick, who, by the way, this guy's kind of, I mean, Kucherov is been their best player, I think, you know, as far as on the ice goes. But I mean, Palat is certainly making a bid for being the most valuable at times.
No question about it. I mean, well, what, he's the franchise leader in game-winning goals in the playoffs.
Right.
He's huge. He's never gets talked about because he's usually on a line with Stamkos and Cooch or Point mm-hmm. and Cooch or Point and Stamkos. But he does all the work, and he's a big-time player, and he comes through in big moments.
Yeah.
But Kucherov, by the way, only the third player in history in the NHL to have 90 points over 3 postseasons.
Yeah, the other two are Wayne Gretzky and, gosh, I'm trying to forget who the second one. I saw the graphic.
It wasn't Lemieux. There's a different graphic for him.
It might have been.
Maybe it was. Gretzky's done it like 5 times, but
yeah, he did a bunch. Yeah,
yeah.
But you're in a company. You're 1 of 3 in NHL history. It's just remarkable how well he's played.
What, I think he's 6 points now shy of 30 points for the third straight postseason.
Yeah,
which is just crazy.
Yeah, that was a great play.
Mm-hmm. Sergachev shot another wrister that gets through mm-hmm. and scores.
Yep,
fantastic. It's a tie game, and then you think, okay, the Lightning can, you know, exert pressure. Now, Colorado pressed in the third, and it was not a good period for the Lightning, but they didn't give up a goal. Vazzy had to make some great saves, no question about it.
Yeah.
But they held their own. And even with Pat Maroon taking a bad penalty with a minute and a half to go. And he said so in the postgame, too. He said it's a boneheaded play. I was expecting I was expecting the overtime that Maroon would come out of the box and 21 seconds later put one in the net to win it. And he almost did. I told Greg Linnelli that during the intermission of overtime. I'm like, I want him to come out of the box and 21 seconds later score, like Stamkos did the other night.
Right.
And darn if Pat Maroon almost did.
He had
a shot. And and look, the overtime goal that got scored against, it was a bad bounce. But, I mean, that's what can happen in overtime. And
was it a bad bounce or a turnover by Sergachev?
It was a turnover, but the puck was bouncing all over the place. Hedman tried to get out of the zone. It got knocked back in. Then Sergachev tried. You know, I mean, the puck had never settled down. I mean, it's a bad turnover, but the puck was bouncing all over the place at that point. I mean, it wasn't like it was on his stick cleanly and he turned it over.
Yeah.
You know, and it's and you know, then it goes, and Burakovsky, we've seen that act before, by the way. If you remember Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals in 2018, he scored two goals for the Capitals against the Lightning.
Don't remind us.
Yes.
But, the
Lightning didn't play great, but they had a shot to win this game. And I thought Colorado played pretty well.
Especially early on, they did. They came out and they had to, that crowd was a factor. You know, like Cooper said, he thought they sat back a little bit. He thought they were kind of in awe the first couple, 10 minutes or so. And then they found their game a little bit. We've seen the Lightning, when they get to field teams on the ice, they kind of figure it out. You know, they kind of find their game. And they're going to have to do so. But this... it's clear this looks like to me, and it's only game one, but it looks like to me that it is the best team they've played in these playoffs. You know, all around, I mean.
I don't think they tested Kemper, and I think he's the weakest goalie they faced in this playoffs.
That's correct. And so they got to get more shots. They need to put more pressure on and have more zone time and all those things that they do when they win. But from a, you know, I mean, I think at this point we've seen this Lightning team do this now for 2 years, and even this year in the playoffs. They came from behind to win Game 6 in overtime against Toronto, then Game 7 on the road. They dropped the first two against the Rangers and were down 2-0, as we mentioned, in Game 3. They came back to win that. So if you follow the Lightning, as you know we have for these past couple of years, you know, you take the good with the bad. Obviously, they don't want to lose any games, but I don't think anybody thought this would be a series sweep. You know, for the Lightning, they're going to drop a game somewhere, and most likely one in Colorado. Okay, and we always say this: you go on the road. I personally, if I were a team, would rather start a playoff on the road. I just feel like there's a tremendous amount of pressure to win two games at home when you start at home, and you almost have to win two. If the Lightning are able to come out and get one of these two, they take home ice away from them, and they're more than happy with the result. So you have to give them the benefit of the doubt with the 5-on-3, with some of the things that happened in this game that, okay, you know, again, stay out of the box. Certainly don't give them a 5-on-3. They had a lot of shots on goal. I mean, the Avalanche had 38 shots on goal, 23, you know, for Tampa Bay. So more shots, right? More pressure on Colorado's goaltender than they had. They're going to need that. But let's see. You know, and the other thing is, they get a couple days now. This is kind of unusual. Like I didn't look at the schedule, but I thought they would play again by like Friday. They don't play again until Saturday.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the window for the Stanley Cup had it gone to seven games, which game seven would have been Tuesday night this week. The Stanley Cup is going to start Saturday and play every other day. So that makes sense. When they decide to start early because the Lightning and Rangers finished up last Saturday, Thursday night was not available on ABC because the NBA Finals is on.
Oh, okay.
So that's why they had to go to Wednesday night. That's why there's an extra off day between Game 1 and 2. It's ABC was already committed to what's Game 6 of the NBA Finals tonight. And that's why the game's not played tonight. It was played Wednesday night. So you have that extra day there.
That makes sense.
And it's because of television, which is what usually dictates. schedules.
Sure. Sure. And I don't know, you know, maybe that'll help them regroup, get used to the time. I don't know. You know, you usually don't want a bunch of days on the road like that, but it's pretty rare to not be playing. Well, but
I wonder how much the altitude change affected them. And
we don't know.
Chief and I were talking about this. He doesn't think it was much, but I thought they looked gassed and more mentally than physically.
Like, at what point, though? Like, at the end or in the beginning?
Particularly at the end, but it was a lot of their decisions were just slower.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they're not right, when they're gassed, gassed may not be the right word for it, but when they're not on their game, everything seems to be takes a tick slower.
Man, the passes were off. They're not taped to tape. Yeah. All that stuff,
where I'm passing it, how I'm passing it, how I'm moving, breaking out. Everything's just a little slow, and they look slow tonight.
Yeah, they did.
It wasn't awful slow, but just slower than they normally are. And maybe some of it's Colorado. I mean, that's a really good team you're facing.
They're really fast. And you know, rest versus rest. They're the rested team. They had fresher legs for sure.
Well, they've had two sweeps in this postseason. They've played. Right. They've only played, 8 plus 6, so 14 games in this postseason.
Right.
The biggest thing, if I'm the Lightning, I'm taking away is that if you stick to your structure, you're going to be fine. And you've got to put more pucks on Darcy Kuemper. Because to me, he didn't look that comfortable in that.
No.
If you watch him, he's all over the place.
The goals he allowed, he didn't look very solid at all.
But there were some other plays where you're just going, why are you way out your net over here on the side? And
yeah, there were some opportunities.
Didn't look as comfortable. If you put more pucks on that net, I think the Lightning will be fine. And just like we said in the Toronto series, just like we said in the New York series, you're starting on the road. You only need to take one of two. It doesn't matter whether it's the first or the second one. You take one of two on the road. You've now taken over home ice advantage, and you're coming home to play two.
Right. And they've been down 2-0 and trailed 2-0. You don't want to dig yourself that hole again against this team because I think they're better than the other two that they played already, Toronto or New York. But they know how to bounce back. How did you think Braden Point looked? Because he seemed to skate pretty well. I think, you know, when you consider how long it's been since he's played and he's obviously battling back from some kind of fairly serious injury, he's going to get better as he plays more and more. I mean, this is just his first game back. So I think the more that Point's on the ice, that you're going to start getting more production from him.
I think John Cooper said it pretty well in the post game, and I'll paraphrase it, but it was I thought he did fine. He hasn't played in a month, and you know,
probably showed. Yeah,
you know, he wasn't Braden Point that from before the injury, but
right.
But he's out there. It's good. He, you know, is he better than Riley Nash who came out for him? Yes.
Yes.
Even the way he is, and I you think he'll get better. And now he's got 2 days to rest between the next game. I wouldn't say he was the Braden Point we've known and seen and that, but is he going to get better each game? Yes, absolutely. It's been over a month or at least a month since he played.
Right.
What, game 7 of the Toronto series?
Yeah.
So he's missed the Florida series and the Ranger series. So.
And part of his role, obviously, is to play in the middle there on the power play. Mm-hmm. Their power play still hasn't really gotten going. I don't know what they are overall in the last few games, but
they were 0-3. They were 0-3 tonight. I thought the first power play was really good.
Really good, yeah. They got about four shots on that one, yeah.
The second one was atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one was okay. Yeah. It was okay. It wasn't, I mean, it wasn't anywhere near as bad as the second one. But right, it wasn't anywhere near as good as the first one.
Right.
And yeah, having Braden Point there, you know, I mean, Corey Perry, I think, does well in that spot, but Braden Point's just a bit quicker.
Mm-hmm. But again, he hasn't played, that, you know, they're maybe a little bit off there.
Yeah. And one other thing about Point, too, is, you know, when he's healthy, he's playing with Cooch. He's playing with Palat. He's playing with Stamkos. He was on a very different line tonight. With guys he doesn't play a lot with, too. So I think that's all part of it as well. I mean, it's not an excuse. I mean, it's part of coming back from injury and you know, where they slotted him in to help him, I don't want to say ease into the game, but, you know, get back. And they don't want to disrupt that top line, which I thought was very good tonight. I thought
it was, although I think it felt like they took Stamkos away.
But you know what? When I noticed, and I liked it a lot, is Cooch was shooting.
Yeah, he was.
And so
he was.
You know, if they're going to take Stamkos away, Cooch needs to not force those passes and start shooting. And he was.
Sure.
Now, they blocked a lot of them.
Sure.
They didn't all make it to the net. But he's making the right decision. If they've taken Stamkos away, then shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was noticeable how much more he was shooting than normal,
mm-hmm.
than typically. And it's probably because they were taking Stamkos away. So take what they give you. And that's what Kucherov was doing and thought it was great.
I you know, I'm not in the arena, and I've been in a lot of arenas, and you were at the, you know, the last clinching playoff series against the Rangers and Emily. It seemed to me, just on watching on TV, that Colorado, that's quite an environment now.
Well,
those people were in it from the start to the end. They were loud, and they didn't stop.
ESPN had the graphic at one point. It's been 7,600 and some odd days since they've hosted a Stanley Cup final game. So that crowd's had, you know, 21 years to get jacked up for it.
Yeah, well, they seemed to be into it. I'll say that. They were really into it.
Yeah, it's always hard to tell over television or radio
exactly
how loud it is, but
yeah.
You could tell it was definitely loud. Now, how it compares to other buildings, you can't tell because they can change the mics and the way they do things.
Yeah, the decibels and all that.
But
they were standing and waving. I mean, I guess the participation was good. I can't really tell noise-wise like what it was like.
You could tell it was a loud crowd. Now, you know, comparing it, I can't, but you could tell just particularly listening to the radio call. And how the crowd is behind Mission Espo, you could tell it's a really jacked up crowd.
Well, and what Cooper said after, I think it was after the first or at some point, he said, look, I felt like we just kind of didn't handle all of that. You know what I mean? Like the first 10 minutes, it was kind of like we were a little bit overwhelmed or whatever he said, to that extent that, you know, they obviously didn't get off to a good start. Mm-hmm. But they did find their game, and that's the key. The longer the Lightning are on the ice with a team, the more they start to find their game and figure out what they can and can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And I expect them to make those adjustments. They got a couple days to do it. You know, they weren't going to win this series 4-0. And again, you know, take one of two on the road to Colorado and you're right where you want to be in terms of home ice and all of that. So it's going to be, you know, it would shock me if either team were to win this, you know, in five games, right? I mean, that would be a surprise. I think it's going to go six or seven. I don't know who's going to win. They seem to be evenly matched. They have a lot of the same qualities. I think Colorado's really fast and really dangerous offensively, but I think they can be had. I think their goaltender, like you said, you certainly put more pressure on him, have more shots, not waste the first 10 minutes of a game like they did falling behind, you know, 2-0 and 3-1. So, you know, it's and by the same token, Colorado could be up 2-0 and put a heck of a lot of pressure on them coming home and you know, after Saturday night. So, I don't know. It's going to be a great series. I think these are clearly two of the best teams that I've seen, and that's why they're still here. And it's the toughest team, as good as Toronto was, as good as New York was. But why would you ever count the Lightning out at this point? Why would you ever think that they're not capable of bouncing back from a game one loss when they've done it time after time after time? And yeah, it wasn't all bad. It's like they could have stole one. That's the best way to put it. Was if they'd have won this game, it would have been probably more than a defeat for Colorado. It would have been like, whoa, you know, we had control of this. We let this get away, and they did, because it was 3-3. They weren't able to score in a power play at the end of regulation. They didn't score the first 30-something seconds to start overtime. And then all of a sudden, you know, it ended very quickly after that. But Colorado had its chances and weren't able to cash in for the longest time. So this could have been one that Colorado looked back on and said, wow, you know, I don't know how much better we can play and still get beat. You know, it was our fault. We had that lapse, what have you. But the Lightning pushed them, and they pushed them to the brink. And now we'll see. Now, you know, you don't have, what they say, you don't have a series until somebody wins a game on the road. Lightning get another chance on Saturday, you know. Hey, before we get to the Rays, have you checked out what the heat index is going to be in Tampa Bay? I think we're walking on the sun already. And you know what that means? You don't want to suffer through this summer with a bad AC system, okay? please call our friends at Air Rescue. Air Rescue offers superior service at unbelievable prices. Your air conditioning unit is going to perform 30% better and, you know, last longer just with a, you know, a maintenance check from Air Rescue, if nothing else. They have an award-winning team. They're available 24/7. In fact, they have emergency service. You can call them anytime. That's so important. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. They've been in business for 75 years. They do repairs. It's family-owned. Air Rescue also offers 100% financing. Sometimes these things can be expensive, but they have affordable payments, and they are very easy with the application process. There's no administrative or bank fees or any extra costs with their financing. So make sure you take care of your air conditioner. Folks, it's getting hot out there. Call Air Rescue at 813-612-5600 or go to airrescueflorida.com for all your air conditioning needs. It's Air Rescue.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so the Tampa Bay Rays dropped their second game in a three-game set at New York against the Yankees. They lose this one 4-3, trailed in the game early, 4-1, I believe. And another outfield error, Steve. What is going on with the Rays, who were built on pitching and defense? The pitching has been there for the most part, but Brett Phillips this time drops a fly ball in the outfield. Bad news, why was Brett Phillips in the game? Well, Kevin Kiermaier now is injured, and this looks like it could be some time that he misses. Look, it's not the Rays team that they anticipated when they broke spring training that's playing out there. They're struggling to score runs. But now defensively, these last two games, the Yankees need no help, I'm telling you. But the Rays keep giving them help, and that's why they've dropped the first two in the series.
It is so puzzling how they can go from, what did we say last night, 56 earned runs or unearned runs in one season, and now they're 44, whatever,
like
somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
And we've got 100 games to go.
I mean, yeah. It's not the same team.
If the Rays' defense does not improve, they're going to struggle. I'm not going to say to make the playoffs, but
maybe
to even come close to catching the Yankees.
Yeah, now that might be, that ship may be beginning to sail anyway, because they got one more game. Now, look, if they take game three and they only, you know, then they're back to 10 games, and we know the Yankees have a long way to go. And one of the reasons why they're playing so well is they're so healthy. You know, they haven't lost Giancarlo Stanton. Aaron Judge hit another home run. He's having a career year. So, you know, at some point you keep waiting for these guys to lose somebody to the IL. They've been very fortunate. The Rays have been the other way. Now, I guess Rasmussen is now
he's on the IL DL now, as well. Yeah. Jalen Beek's going to start today in kind of a bullpen day.
Yeah. So, I mean, you drop this one, you know, you fall 12 back and you're going to Baltimore, who they owned last year but haven't so far this season in a brief series that they've had. Then they come home and they play the Yankees again. I mean, you know, you look up here in the next week and you find yourself 14-15 out. I don't care how many games you got left. That's a deep, deep hole. You're not going to win the division. Then you're struggling to try to, you know, obviously stay as many games above 500 as you can and make the playoffs, which they would. But at this moment, but the way things are going, it's trending the opposite way. I mean, these guys are getting hurt, and the defense isn't there. And these are easy plays. Like, these are – I have not seen in back-to-back games fly balls drop like this in a major league game in some time. This is weird.
You're playing in the bandbox of Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
And you've given up one earned run in the two games.
Yeah, I mean, you should be 2-0.
And lost both.
You should be 2-0. Mm-hmm. No question. You know, you've pitched and you know, the bats aren't going very well. But, I mean, everything you've given them, it's just not Rays baseball. It's just not the way they're built, the way they're structured. And, yeah, they're going to struggle because of all the guys of Wander Franco's and all the guys that are out. But holy moly, guys, I mean, you know, catch the baseball. It's just not that difficult. And, you know, I don't – this – to me, even going into the season, this Rays team was going to be challenged offensively. and they are, and now it's even more so. I don't know how they entered this series 10 games above 500. We talked to Neil Solons the other day about it, how, you know, when you look at the list of guys that are on the IL and, you know, particularly their everyday lineup guys, you know, to be 10 games over 500 to enter this series was remarkable. It's just like shouldn't have happened. And yet it can get away from you quickly if they continue not to at least catch the ball. That's got to stop. And there's no explanation for it because we know these guys are good players, good outfielders. And it's the outfield this last couple of nights, which is weird because that's the part that's been intact, you know. Now, Kiermaier's down, so that's a big piece out of that outfield. Phillips isn't swinging a bat very well at all, to say the least. So now not that Kevin was lighting it up, but he was still coming through with some big hits at times and some home runs. So,
yeah. Do we see Josh Lowe return now?
Well, I think you need something. And I don't know how or when or what the whole calculus is with Lowe, but, you know, obviously they thought he was further ahead than he was. They sent him back down to Durham. One of the reasons why they traded Austin Meadows was to create opportunity for this guy. You do need a bat, and if he can help you, I think you got to bring him up here shortly because there's just no offense here at all. And if
he's
down,
he's also
outfielder,
a plus defender.
Absolutely, he's a really good.
You're
outfielder.
Having outfield problems right now.
Absolutely, and you know somebody that can maybe catch a fly ball. I don't know. It's weird. It's not. They've always done more with less, and they've done it with their defense. And look, you can't fault the pitching. I mean, the pitching has been as good as it can be. You know, McClanahan threw the ball well enough to win, and, you know, his defense didn't back him up, and they didn't score a ton of runs for him. Then they made a comeback. They got it, you know, to within 4-3 and had a runner on first base in the ninth, but couldn't get him home. So they were right there against as good a lineup as there in baseball. I mean, you know, LeMahieu and Judge and Rizzo and Stanton and Donaldson and Torres and Hicks, and you know, I mean, this is a loaded Yankees team as we've always seen. The difference is they're pitching so well, and those guys have not missed any games either. And the Rays pitching now is once again, you know, lost a starter. So it's been a frustrating year if you're a Rays fan because they've never really gotten any traction. You know, they've had some spurts. Somehow they managed to stay this many games above 500, but yeah, it's just been odd, you know. And the only guy swinging the bat really well is Manuel Margot, and yet he came up early in that game with a chance to do some damage and couldn't do it. So yeah, just one more game in the Bronx, and then it's on to Baltimore. And you need to start beating up on the lesser team in the AL East and then come home and maybe being back at the top, you can dent the Yankees a little bit. But man, they are running away with this division, and it's like nobody's business. I mean, they are just, you know, taking advantage of every mistake, pitching well enough, and they got 16 losses on the season or something like that. I mean, it's crazy this many games into it. So not a good outcome for the Rays, not a good outcome for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Oh, by the way, Tom Brady was on Dan Patrick, didn't say anything.
Well, he said he might be crazy, but...
Yeah, he's crazy. He's crazy like a fox, but yeah. Patrick is one of those things, like if you get a little inside baseball, like how this happened. He was there, he was doing a sort of a advertising blitz for Hertz. And so he had a number of these interviews, and it was pre-taped, I guess, the day before, so that would have been, Monday. And so they offer Brady, and without fail, I promise you, it came with restrictions. One was, and Patrick said, that they had to mention Hertz twice, which they did. And at some level, they must have said to him, look, we're not talking about Miami. Because that was the one question. And I know Dan Patrick, and he's one of the best interviewers. I listen to Dan Patrick to pick up tips about how to interview people. He's that good. And he even talked about, you know, his strategy towards interviewing and, you know, started out, he was disarming enough talking about, you play baseball and what kind of a baseball player would you have been and blah, blah, blah. And then asked him about, you know, give me the top three players, teammates you've ever played with. And he gave 15 and filibustered on that. And eventually he got to, well, what was the moment you told Giselle, you know, take me to that moment you told Giselle that you wanted to play. And that's when he said that he's, you know, probably ill, about playing. Didn't give any detail really about that decision, but it never came up that, like, what in the hell once and for all was going on with Miami Dolphins. The words Miami or Dolphins did not come up And to the point where when Nick Wright was on as a guest later on, he gave Patrick all kinds of hell for it. But I have to believe that Brady's people probably said, look, we're not talking about, you know, some of the reports that are out there about Brady in Miami or whatnot. But it was entertaining. It just wasn't informative. There was just nothing new. There was no there, except that, you know, his endorsements for Hurts, which is nice. Nice for Tom, I suppose. So not much more on the Bucs going on there. No Gronk. We're still on the Gronk watch. We'll see if he, as we get closer to training camp, and maybe he does something. But it's a little bit of a break for them, for me, and for Bucs fans that can now kind of just kind of dive into the Lightning series against Colorado, which will resume Saturday night. We'll see how they bounce back from that one. And, yeah, but they're down 1-0 now after their 4-3 overtime loss, second overtime game of this season for the Lightning. And, you know, they're in a little bit of a hole. But, like I said, I don't think anybody expected them to sweep this series. So they got to take some good and try to build on that. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with your mailbag questions. You can still submit those if you want to. You can send them to us on Twitter at SportsDayTB. You can reach me on Twitter at NFLStroud, or my email address is rstroud@tampabay.com. For Steve Erstink, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.